Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everyone. It is your third day with Becky Brown and Dr. Alice Benton, and we're so glad to be with you. And guess what? Chris Williams has joined us, and we are going to have a great couple of hours of radio together. And
I want to encourage you. Special guest, Chris Williams.
That's right. A special guest.
We let him back on today.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we have to get your wisdom on here all the time, Chris. So I want to encourage you, listeners. You know, one of the things that we always say is call us, 1-800-229-3000. It seems so simple, but it can be so much of a challenge. And I know, because I've talked to a lot of you, that you think, you know, I should call sometime. Okay, well, today is the day. So you can call 1-800-229-3000. We have lines that are open, and we're going to be taking your calls for a couple of hours. And even more so, if you have a friend or a loved one that might need some help, and we all do, you can let them know that we're here for them. But, you know, in a couple of weeks, we're going to do our last Everyman's Battle of 2022. Now, we're going to have a whole nother year next year of them. But our Everyman's Battle workshop is for men who struggle with sexual integrity on different levels, all different kinds. But it can make a difference in your life as a man and in your family's life. But, you know, Chris, I want you to speak to what that process of sexual addiction, well, how does this happen that men have such struggles in this area?
Yes, and we know that it really shows up predominantly in men, but it can show up in women as well, It does not discriminate. But one of the things I think we get caught up on is just the behavior. If I can just stop the behavior, then I'll be okay. But the problem then is that you don't take care of what's underlying the problem. Because most people that are caught up, most guys that are caught up in this realize, especially Christian men, of course, we know it's wrong. We know we shouldn't be doing it. We would not like to do it. And so it's not a matter of just not doing it. We got to figure out why this is so powerful, why the hooks are so strong, and why we keep going back to it over and over again. Because what ends up really happening is that throughout the development of our lives, we all have needs. And this is one of the huge challenges I think that we have in our society and culture today is the denial of our basic needs. But our needs are mob bosses. They're going to get met one way or another. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay up one way or another. And so it's better to meet the need accurately on the front end than inaccurately on the back end. So how does this apply to sexual addiction? Well, let's take pornography for an example. If I'm feeling lonely, if I'm feeling discouraged, if I'm carrying around an insecurity, or if even that is shame, I have to deal with that in some way. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I could deny that all I want, but then when I get a soothing or stimulating experience that is sexualized, the problem with it is that in the moment it works phenomenally
well.
That's right. And I don't have to be vulnerable to another person. You know, I can be in control of that need and the need taken care of. The problem is that the underlying need of loneliness will never be taken care of through that type of experience. And so it just cycles and gets deeper and stronger over and over and over again. And we just get hooked in these black holes that we really, really need help getting out of.
Is there hope, Chris?
Absolutely. The hope is... The hope is recovery, and recovery in relationship, recovery in truth. And I'm telling you, every man's battle is your doorway. It is 48 hours to provide you that pathway into a different way of living. Not just leaving the behavior behind, but feeling different, relating different, showing up different to the world much more in line with what God intended you to be.
Wow, and listen, and this could be your doorway. So give us a call. You can call us today, 1-800-229-3000, or you can go to newlife.com and register. We'll be right back after this break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Here with Becky Brown, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-229-3000. And Chris, we're going to go to this call, but I want you to repeat what you just said about stacking the needs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's this fancy thing that I like to talk about. I say it's fancy. Sometimes we use these words that are missed, and I don't want this one to be missed, and it's called agency. Agency just means I have an ability to make something of myself and the and my life in the world around me. But what that means is that how we become fully human as God intended is it starts with our basic needs. And so when we come out of the womb, we are a bundle of need. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing. When those needs are met, we develop into our feelings, our emotional world, and then those terrible twos and threes hit and we get our thoughts. And that turns into desires, which ultimately turns into decisions. But if we go all the way back down to the bottom of the rung with needs, if our basic needs aren't met, everything else goes haywire. And so self-care isn't a good idea. Self-care is essential to life and even making good decisions.
There you go.
And we need God. And then we need comfort from other people, healthy, safe comfort from other people. And EMB teaches that. Restore teaches that. Emotional freedom. I mean, all that we do is trying to teach those two basic, simple, but really complex as well, complex
yes,
to live out
absolutely.
Ideas.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you shared that. And we're always here for you. We want to help you get that transformed life. Right now, we're going to talk to Rick, who's calling us from Detroit, Michigan, my birthplace. I love Detroit. And listens on WSNL. Hi, Rick. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. It's amazing what you guys give opportunity for men to be able to do. It's awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. How can we help you today, Rick?
My question is, how do I curb the desires that I have? I gave up porn, took it out of my house 20 years ago, have not had it back. I've been faithfully married for 5 years. We are highly sexual. I'm very, very much in desire, and it's fine at home. But I always still get the urge, and it's embarrassing to myself that I still love to look at women and look at some images, not pornographic images. I don't do that. I don't break out and do anything physical with anyone else. But I still can't get rid of that desire of wanting to look at nice-looking women. It's driving me nuts. Sounds crazy to most guys I know, but that's the way it is. I don't want to do that.
Well, we're glad you called today, Rick. Let's start with you, Chris. What would you encourage Rick with this process of recovery and healing?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, Rick, welcome to the club, man. So I say that because there's a couple of things here. God created beauty, and that's a good thing, and that's an okay thing. What's not okay oftentimes is what we do with that, right? So there's a few things. You know, typically when the attraction turns into a lust, meaning something that I want to do with that person, right, and usually sexualized, what I'm typically doing is what I just talked about. I'm trying to meet a need through an experience with them. And this is the really hard work that I think is ahead of us, is then we have to discover what is that need. Because there'll be days where you're walking through the grocery store and it's a nothing. You're just going and buying something, getting out. There's those days where I call it the aisle check. Here's the aisle check. The aisle check is this, Rick. When you're in the grocery store and you're walking out and you find yourself in an aisle, you have nothing to buy in there. But you're looking to get something, right? So there is something different between one day and the other day. And the question is that we must learn to ask and eventually answer is, what's the difference? am I carrying around a little bit more insecurity? Am I carrying around more frustration? Is there resentment? Is there something going on that's disruptive in me that I'm looking for this person to cure? That they can't, really.
I have because it can be, I can be good for weeks, and all of a sudden it's like this urge just jumps on my back and it won't go off for days. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want you to know that is normal, because it points back to a normal need, but you got to get that need. You got to know what it is and then get it met in a legitimate way.
Yeah. So, and I would ask, Rick, what is your process of recovery? What are you doing? What have you done to get into that process of recovery?
You know, well, the main thing I did was, you know, I got married to a beautiful woman 5 years ago, met her 6 years ago, and I wanted to be married. I wanted to stay married. We have a great relationship, sexual and otherwise, very sensual. I'm a very sensual person. So I just go back to that, but, you know, I don't, you know, having a wife, they don't have it every day. You know, of course.
Okay, here's the thing, Rick, and I'll let Alice speak to this. She's not your recovery program, okay? So, Alice, what would you like to say to Rick to encourage him?
I'm so proud of your 20 years of sobriety from porn. You have had many victories in a very difficult battle, and you're a humble, honest man to lay it all out like this with us. I'm going to say something tough. I'm going to say something.
Several times.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, several times I cleaned the house out. I got all the DVDs and everything and throw them in the garbage far away where I couldn't do it, and I'd be good for a couple of years. And after doing that, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times, I finally got away from it. It was a battle.
Mm-hmm. Bravo, sir, that you keep at it like you do. Now, I'm going to give you a challenge, because I think in part you still might be treating this urge with a sexual solution. And an appropriate sexual solution with your wife. But you might be missing some of those other needs that Chris has been talking about that are underneath your sexual desire. And to go back again to how Chris started the show, there probably is a need for reassurance. There's a need for a verbalization of how much your wife loves you and admires you. There might be a loneliness that you feel on the inside. There's some emotions that swirl underneath the sexual desire, and they need to be identified and expressed and brought into relationship with your wife, but with other good men in your life as well. So of everything that Chris and I have been saying, do you have a guess at what that uncomfortable emotion is, that uncomfortable need that feels too weak or too vulnerable that might be there in your heart?
The only thing I come up with is hereditary. My father was terrible. Other than that, I really don't have needs. My life is absolutely awesome, you know, and I just want to keep living and better and keep improving. So that's why I'm
Rick, give us a brief description of how was your father terrible? That's a weighty statement.
He was a good father, don't get me wrong. He took very good care of his family. But he was addicted to sex, very extreme. He was married 3 times. He lost all his wives. And, you know, I mean, it was just any woman, anywhere, you know, at any time kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was probably, you know, I will admit, you know, 20 years ago I was terrible, but I am not now, and haven't been in 10 years. Least, you know, so
this goes back to Rick, your father's problem was not primarily his behavior. Your father's problem was his undealt with broken heart that he didn't know what to do with. And so a person in that situation doesn't have the ability to feel their emotions and appropriately deal with them, which becomes an enormously huge aspect of growing up, of our maturation, especially our growth in Christ. So I want to highly, highly encourage you here to do something, to take this, you know, I'm so glad that Alice asked that question, because it's so helpful. Because again, you and I are a lot alike, you know, there can be a lot of management that looks successful around this, but an angsty heart underneath it all. And so that angsty heart needs, as Alice was saying about all of our workshops, relationship. I want you to attend every man's battle. Now, you're going to hear stories about people in much more dire or worse types of behaviors and situations. And I don't want you to go in there and compare, because it will be incredibly unhelpful. Right. I want you to go in there and look for the similar patterns, especially that the presenter JJ is going to talk about, but especially what you're going to do in the small groups, and really see how that relational connection through the deeper parts of us really start relieving that those lustful desires. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want you, I'm so grateful for your call, Rick, because I don't want you just to have relief from the behavior. I want you to have relief from the angst that drives the behavior.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Rick,
right.
You're very good at being cheerful. I think you have a gift of joy and of contentedness. I think you're going to have to, it's obvious about you. You're going to have to get good at being vulnerable. And not minimizing, but rather recognizing the uncomfortable emotions. And I'll just give you one example. You gave your dad the compliment of he was a great dad, but then you also revealed, well, he had a lot of broken marriages in his life, which impacted you. So I think you're good at minimizing your own pain too much and not even perhaps being aware of what's in there and how uncomfortable you do feel at times because you're so good at being cheerful. And so I want you to prayerfully consider what might be those vulnerable emotions that are difficult for you to recognize and to feel. And lastly, I want you to become even more aware of how the struggle affects your wife. And I want you to even ask her if she notices how she's feeling about your sobriety, how you're doing with your sobriety. Because when a wife lives with a man who recognizes and ogles beautiful women, and I don't know how far you take it, but a wife is very sensitive to that. Go ahead.
Very discreet, yes. Yeah. Very discreet. She don't even, we have a great relationship.
Right, but that, but Rick, what I would suggest is that you may not be as discreet as you think. Hear from women all the time that they are overwhelmed. But here's what I'm going to celebrate the fact that you called, because you have done the best that you can, and we want to help you go to that next level of recovery a lifetime, and you'll have a great connection with your wife. We're going to send you a copy of Every Man's Battle. Hold on, and our call representative will get you connected with the information for the upcoming workshop, because it can make all the difference in the world. Transformation doesn't happen in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
It happens in the community of safe people, of people who are on the journey, and we want to encourage that for you. Thank you so much for calling.
Let me jump in. Okay, so I want to make it explicit. Everyone out there, Every Man's Battle is December 2nd in Dallas. That's the next one coming up. Guys, this is the best Christmas gift you can give to your wife. I guarantee
Absolutely.
It. If you are struggling with this, there will never be a Christmas gift better than this one. And
and
wives, if your husband is struggling and you need a Christmas gift, make him go to Every Man's Battle. Again, it is that important.
There you go. I agree. I appreciate that, Chris, and I agree. That would be a great Christmas present. And so now we're going to take Tammy's call, who's calling us from Knoxville, Tennessee, WRJZ. And we're so glad you called, Tammy. How can we help you today?
Hi there, how are you?
Good, Tammy, how are you?
How are you? I'm good. I was listening to you guys yesterday, and I called
that.
Yesterday. and I got this issue with my father and men in my life, because I don't, my dad was a very non-emotional man and very angry man, and as in, when I was 5 years old, he was teaching me how to play baseball, and he stopped because my brothers wanted to put me to the side and rejected me and abandoned me, okay? And then 15 months later, my little sister was born. And then when I was 16 and a half, I had a very bad car wreck and lost my life and was in the hospital for 3 days. And I came home, and Dad said, "You should have seen what you did to my car."
Oh.
And it was like, okay, in my mind, I was saying, "You want me or you want your car?" But I didn't say that out loud.
All right,
then
Tammy,
hold on.
You can hear the music. We're going to go to a break. Do you have a succinct question before we go to the break that we can start thinking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I need to know how to forgive my dad because he's dead. And I know that I'm supposed to kick a chair and talk to a chair and put him in a chair. But I'm sorry about that. I mean, I've already written a letter, so I'm
all right. Well, we'll help you after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you because we want to help you. And I know that as we are approaching the holiday season, you know, Thanksgiving's next week, there's going to be a lot of family stuff that's going to come up that you're going to either want to avoid or maybe you feel like attacking, but we don't want you to do that either. Maybe attack the problem, but not the person. But you can give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We have lines open and we're going to be taking your calls for the next hour and a half. Right now, we have a very important call with Tammy, who's calling us from Knoxville, whose dad passed away, but somehow the anger is still present. And so, Tammy, if you want to fill in a little bit more, and then we'll ask Chris and Alice what they would have to offer for you.
Okay, I'm a pro-life giver. I mean, I give to you guys once a month.
Great, thank you. Thank you.
And my mom, we had to put her to sleep because she had lupus and a bunch of things wrong with her. And when my brother and sister and dad said, "I love you," and she mouthed, "I love you," back to them. When I said, "I love you, Mom," she didn't say a word. She pierced her lips together. And so, I mean, you know, I know that I didn't treat him well when I got out of the hospital because I went straight downhill and I followed Satan in every which way I could. I mean, I've had 5 abortions. I've used drugs and alcohol. I slept with men. I slept with women. Tried to commit suicide. Just lots of things. And when I was 44, I gave my life back to Jesus. And so that's my main story, you know, except for, you know, I was trying to be Karen and Stephen's mom and dad, and I couldn't do that. And so I'm a sister to my sister, but to my brother, I'm not really because he's a man, you know, and just like my dad, he's a man, and he, you know.
So Tammy, you're trying to kind of heal the past, basically, is what you're saying. Whether it's your dad, the stuff. All right, well,
so I can accept love and give love like I'm supposed to.
Okay, great.
Oh, that's you said that so incredibly well. Yes, that's my hope, desire, and prayer for you, Tammy, that you can receive and give love well because you got just the opposite.
Well, what would you offer to her, Chris or Alice?
I would just start with saying two things. Let's provide two clear roads. One road is forgiveness, and that's going to be a letting go.
Right.
And I think there's two dads that you need to forgive. You need to forgive the dad who never showed up for you.
Right.
And you need to forgive the dad who did. Because you got hurt.
Right.
You got hurt by both. The dad that you were supposed to have. I think the healing is the similar thing. But the healing isn't about them. The healing is about the way in which that deep, deep rooted, unspeakable amount of pain, of rejection, and being discarded as a precious human being did to you at a very, very deep level. And that's going into that deep therapeutic work. And finding someone to walk you through that and to walk so that you're no longer living under that pain, under all of the emotions. I also want to mention one thing. You said that your dad was not a very emotional person or a non-emotional person, and yet he was angry.
Right.
I'd restate that. I would say your father was a deeply emotional person, and the only way he knew how to express it was through anger.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, so one of the things, you know, I'll suggest is, you know, our emotional freedom workshop.
It's coming up
in January. It is specifically designed for you. And I would highly, highly encourage you to attend that. But even before that, you know, let's get you. I'm sure Knoxville has.
I need to know if you have any counselors around Knoxville that I could go to.
You know,
yeah, we'll connect you.
I'm fixing to go to Grace Brothers Church and have them counsel me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that's for 10 sessions and it's for free, but I'm not sure if they know how to get down deep and get out of me.
We'll connect you. We'll connect you with somebody, Tammy. I always think that, you know, first steps, I agree with Chris that emotional freedom would be a good next step. Alice, what would you like to offer to Tammy?
Tammy, do you know that you are also an angry person?
Oh, I know I'm angry.
Oh,
yeah.
Girl, that's so humble. How do you know that?
Yeah. Because if I'm showing somebody how to do something and they're not doing it quick enough or my way or whatever, I kind of like say, don't you know what you're doing? And I'll start bossy talking to them, you know, just like my mom and dad did to me. You know, so I'm not saying I get that from them, but that's where I learned how to show my emotions.
And the world, in addition to your family, the world sure has mistreated you, and you have been in horrible situations over and over. I'm actually getting a little angry myself, Tammy. And I'm angry at God that he has allowed so much to happen to you. I'm upset. I'm upset that he chose this family. He put you in this family. That doesn't make sense to me that Tammy was so mistreated starting at such an early age. And I want to give both of us permission. Right. Tammy, it's good for us to get angry at the evil that has been perpetrated in your life. That's okay to be angry. And when you talked about kicking that empty chair that you put your dad in, that's where I got that sense that there's some anger in you. And it is necessary to feel and express the anger, to have permission for it. That helps us get to the point of true, genuine forgiveness. Because when you tell some of these stories, it sounds like they happened yesterday. It feels like they just happened yesterday. And so it's in the telling and the retelling and the expression of anger that the forgiveness will be generated.
Agreed. Well, we're so glad that you called, Tammy. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and we're going to get you connected with Emotional Freedom, and we'll be back taking your calls after this break.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I love to tell you all that we can listen a lot of different ways. You know, back in the day, the early days of New Life Live, you had to listen just on the radio. And I was one of those people that would stop. Like, I couldn't go into whatever appointment or building that I was supposed to go in because I wanted to hear the whole question, the whole story. I wanted to hear the answer. Uh-huh. But now you can listen a lot of different ways. You can listen on our free New Life app, which you can download wherever you get your apps on your device. You can also listen at newlife.com. You can listen to our YouTube channel, and hello to our YouTube viewers. I love all of you. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe and like the post so that other people can hear about New Life. And you can also listen to our podcast. So there's lots of different ways. I know I said podcast twice, but maybe that was subliminal so that you will listen somewhere, somehow. And right now, we're going to continue taking calls. We still have lines open, so you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And we're going to talk to Charlotte, who from Cincinnati, Ohio, listens on WCVX. Hi, Charlotte. Thanks so much for calling. And how can we help you today?
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well.
That is good. Hey, I had a question referencing, how do you know when something is an addiction versus not an addiction? Is it because something is done over time, or...
Mm-hmm. And tell us the story behind that question, Charlotte.
Well, the story behind it, I would say, like, for example, if someone has, if someone's been watching porn over time for 20-some years, I can
yes.
use that as an example.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You might be addicted.
I use it as an example.
It's like you might be a redneck if, you know?
Right.
It's like you might be addicted if you've been watching porn for 25 years.
Okay.
So addiction happens on a very large spectrum, you know, mild to severe. And so I think we need to understand that. Like, we all get this stereotype in our mind of, like, what an addict is. And that's usually
right.
not accurate. And it's actually dangerous because it can actually miss what it is. And so there's a lot of different things out there, there's a few different definitions, but there's three markers that we really look for that tell us how far advanced this problem and how much it's taking over someone. One thing would be that if a person is, let's take pornography, as a person is looking at porn and it starts interrupting their life. They start neglecting things, you know, and it becomes really hard because people can hide that and still look like they function really well, but they'll start to emotionally shut down. You know, they will start to isolate more and more and more. And, you know, and there's a withdrawal process that happens with it, meaning withdrawing from everyday life. The other aspect is they try to stop and they're unsuccessful at doing it. Now, there's a lot of people that have a binge and purge cycle, right? They can stop for a while, but then when it comes back into their life, oh, man, it just, you know, it takes off to the races. It may not do it right away, but eventually it will. The other aspect is what we call a tolerance. And a tolerance just means that what used to work for me early on no longer does, and so I have to increase the amount, the frequency, and intensity of the behavior or the substance or you know, in this case, the pornography or sexual experience. And you have this slow progression of what I would call the I would nevers. Well, I would never look at porn at work, or I would never visit a massage parlor. I would never do these particular things. And then once a person crosses that line, there's like no turning back. And they keep crossing those. And then the final aspect of it would be just that they're causing harm to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are being damaged in the process.
Well, of course, I want to know, Charlotte, I think Alice started with, why are you asking the question, right? I mean, is there somebody in your life that this is causing you pain?
Yes. And then I was wondering as far as, like, boundaries, like what boundaries can be put in place.
And are you willing to tell us what your relationship is to this person?
Spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
How has it been addressed so far between the two of you? And I imagine he's been telling you he's not addicted. It's not a problem.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've been definitely hearing that. And for that length of time. So being at a point to where either walking away or putting boundaries in place, not quite sure what to do.
Does walking away mean living in a different home, divorcing? How extreme is that for you? Which yes?
In a different place, and divorcing. Yes, ma'am.
So, Charlotte, I need to observe something with you. You're able in your voice to stay kind of lighthearted, and you're laughing a little bit. And it took a little while for the revelation that this is your husband. This is not just an abstract question. And I would guess that you have had to separate your heart from this problem so much because it is destroying you and your marriage. And I'd like your reaction to that, that your voice is lighthearted when the problem is killing you.
You know what? It used to be killing me, but one day I woke up, and I tell you, when I woke up, I was this different person. Like, I had totally separated myself completely. where there was a lot of forgiveness and all of that in place. So I don't have any anger and things of that, and I've forgiven it all and all that. I'm not that person that I used to be. That person that used to be was really upset, really hurt.
How long ago did that switch? How long ago did that switch take place?
About 2 years.
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay.
About 2 years.
And as you consider whether or not to divorce or to leave your husband, there are steps generally to take with increasing distance and boundaries if your husband is unwilling to get the help for this problem. So if you have never asked him to go to therapy and to Every Man's Battle, if you've never separated yourself physically or considered a legal separation, those tend to be good steps to take first before the extreme step of divorce, which is also sometimes necessary. We notice any resistance you might feel to what I'm suggesting as preliminary steps to take.
Well, I can tell you that the Every Man's Battle workshop was done a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He ended up comparing himself to others mm-hmm. that were there and just saying, not as bad,
yep.
not as bad, not serious mm-hmm. at all. That was done. And then also therapy, maybe 8 different ones.
Okay, so Tim... Charlotte, let me jump in really quickly. So,
yes.
Is his viewing of pornography a part of your marriage today?
Yes.
Okay. Does pornography work for you in marriage?
No.
Okay.
No, it does
Stay
not.
Stay super simple.
Along with various affairs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Charlotte.
Yep. Yes. Okay. So, a boundary starts with clarity. And that, because a good boundary has a clear purpose and reason. Pornography and sexually acting out do not work in being married to you. He has to stop, full stop, do everything possible to stop from being married, or it sounds to you like the marriage is over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? And I think that
yes.
I think that's because the other aspect I really like... You know what Alice is saying, because that's really our preference. Our preference is to see if a marriage can be restored. But it just sounds like all he's danced around it so much.
Yeah.
It may take like that. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
You know, you do something here, it's done.
I wonder too, Charlotte. Have you done any counseling, or have the two of you been with a counselor together?
Have individually for years, have together for years.
Okay. So see what happens. The reason why I'm asking this is because if the counseling is going on for years, if the behavior is going on for years, something isn't working. And so we've got to pay attention to that. And so if you'll stay on the line, we'll get you connected with some research. I'm going to send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust. I think that will help you kind of outline. I would encourage you, Charlotte, to join us at the Restore Workshop in February, because mm-hmm. I think the boundary issue that you're having is because this is kind of it's whirling. He's still active in his addiction. And he's still driving the train of your marriage. And you're just waiting for him to do something different. And you've waited long enough. And we want to get you help. And we want to get you guys on a path of whether you're going to be able to resurrect and transform the marriage or maybe not. And, you know, that would be sad. But I just know that you can't continue to do the same thing expecting different results. And I think we answered the question about whether it's an addiction. You can be sure that it is. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I just want to say a big thank you in this season of gratitude to all of you who are supporting New Life through your giving. And we couldn't be here without you. And just think of the lives that you are changing. How God is directing you to give to New Life is making a difference in the lives of people all across the world, really, because of the internet. But we are so grateful for you. And I'm especially grateful for our Club New Life family who give on a monthly basis. And you can join Club New Life, and we will give you a 1-year Bible for men or a 1-year Bible for women. Both the Arterburns did the extra commentary for those 1-year Bibles. And if you're a current Club New Lifer and you just want to increase your giving by $10, we will send you your choice of those Bibles as well. It's all a way to say thank you for what you are doing in the lives of so many people's lives. And we just want to encourage you. Maybe you haven't given a dollar yet and you're thinking, you know, I need to do that. It's really easy to do that. You can just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com. There's a little donate now button and click that. And you're just going to be part of transformation. And I just wanted to say thank you and just to remind you that we are always grateful for what you have done and what you will do and how God is providing. And with that, we're going to go to a call. We're going to talk to Heather, who's calling us from Lake City, Michigan. Hello, Heather. I'm so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hi, good afternoon. I was just at the Restore Workshop, and so you were there this weekend, and
I called
to get the number. Yeah, it was really good. It was hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard to be in the room with all of those women and have them share their pain. But it was good. It was just good to be around other people. Women that are going through the same thing, that no matter what happens, they want to be okay. I'm still really emotional and trying to, like, just calm down from it. But I came home, and my husband went to Every Man's Battle 2 years ago, and I've had the book Intimate Deception has been, like, the companion to my Bible for, like, 5 years. It's really been a great, not only survival guide, but it's really helped me thrive in this time when God called me to stay. And, everything finally hit because he had a relapse. And, you know, I just messaged my pastor and his wife, who they've known about this for a while. And I just said, you know, this is it. I have to separate. And the only chance is, you know, to separate with maybe the possibility of reconciling, but with really heavy boundaries. It's not
That's
safe.
Great.
I can't. And, he turned a corner.
What would you say to a woman who's wondering about whether she should go?
Go, because it is really helpful. I mean, the deliverance that happened that weekend and the comfort. I think the biggest thing was just the comfort and really be in a place where you could talk so freely about it without thinking that you're a burden to anybody or that you're weird, or because it was like so many women, it's like you want to share about what's going on, but at the same time, how do you love your husband when they're doing this and not have anybody think that they're a terrible person? So it was like being able to be around women that you can identify with and be in that place with. And then women that had a big choice to make. I mean, I didn't know if I was going to stay or go until this weekend, And it just...
It's awesome.
It was helpful and validating and helped me kind of draw the line of where my stuff was and where his stuff was.
Heather, I want to praise you. Sister, you have a beautiful soul. And I hear in you your strength, your resolve, and your ongoing hope in God. You're so faithful to Him and His way, no matter what your husband chooses. I recognize that beauty in you.
Well, we're so grateful that you were with us this weekend, Heather, and you just have encouraged other women to be part of a healing process, and we're so grateful for the opportunity to serve you in that way. And if there's anyone that's listening that gives us a call, it can make all the difference in the world. We're going to take our last caller, but we're still taking calls for the next hour. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. We have some lines open, and you can jump in the conversation. But right now, we're going to talk to April, who's calling us from Boston and listens on our YouTube channel. April, we've just got a few minutes, but I wanted to get to your call. How can we help you today?
Hi, I'm calling because I've been with my fiance for 7 years now, and we've been thinking about getting married, and he came up with that he wants a prenuptial agreement. And we've been going to premarital counseling, and we've got to just the second class, and he came up with that. And my priest doesn't think we're on a good road. He thinks it's a bumpy car ride, the two of us.
Okay.
And
okay.
I just don't know. He doesn't want to change his mind about that. He wants a prenuptial agreement that, you know, we have.
And okay. All right.
April, do you agree with your priest? Do you see the bumps, and are they so big that you're worried about whether or not getting married is the right choice?
I don't see the bumps because my fiance is a really good guy, best guy in the world. He's really good to me. And I just feel like he doesn't trust me or something because he wants that. And I just don't like when he says, well, if we get divorced, I don't want to lose this and I don't want to lose that. And what he has is 22 acres and he farms it.
Mm-hmm.
And we planned on building a house, but we just can't do that right now because we can't get a loan for that. And he said if we could build the house together, that he would leave, if something happened, if we did get divorced, that he would let me have the house that we built and the land that it's on. He just wants the rest of his land to go to him.
So, April, let me jump in really quickly here. So, yes, your husband has trust issues because he has a scarcity mentality.
Yep. And he's my fiance.
Fiance, thank you. Thank you for correcting me on that. Yeah, so your fiance struggles with a scarcity mentality. That is, like, there is very limited, and it's, you know, that there can't be more, that you hold on to what you have, and that people are going to take it. So it's a real fear-driven perception of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to know, because I want to just, I'm sure he's a great guy. I really believe you in that. But that fear is also going to drive or impact your life. And you have to ask yourself the question, do I want to live under his fear?
And is he willing to acknowledge that he's fearful, that it has a negative impact on you? And is he willing to work on it to get professional help with that fear?
And that could be a question, April, that you take back to your premarital counseling that you're doing. I think you said you're doing it with the priest. And just explore it. If you really have a good relationship with him, there will be room for discussion. And maybe to just get an awareness and an understanding of what is driving the need for the prenuptial agreement. There's a lot of marriages that have them for lots of different reasons. It doesn't mean that it's the worst thing, but you've got to be clear on why this is happening before you take that leap. Go ahead, Chris.
I know we're out of time, but two resources we have. I mean, How We Love, and if you guys were to attend the Intimacy mm-hmm. and Marriage Workshop mm-hmm. in February, I mean, it would just illuminate and clarify so many things in your guys' relationship.
Yeah. We will send you that book, April, and we'll be praying for just clarity on that. We're so glad that all of you called today. We are still taking calls. We've got some lines open. We appreciate you listening. It makes a difference in your life, I know, and I want you to encourage others to listen as well. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.